I'll let you know something about me. I really, really love church. I really enjoy going to the annual meeting and seeing everyone working together and discussing things. I don't know if that's weird. Most people think of annual meetings and they just think of like, man, that's a whole Saturday that I have to sit around for. But anyways, I love it. I get excited to see the church at work. I get excited to see the Holy Spirit doing what he does. And I love to see people stepping out of their comfort zones and serving God and sharing their faith. I get to see the youth hearing the gospel sometimes for the first time or in a new way. And I get to see them interacting with it and seriously thinking about what it means to them. That gets me excited. And I love seeing people working together for one goal. People from different backgrounds, even from different churches, working together for the glory of God. So that excitement is part of the reason that the missions committee wanted to have the sort of service we're about to have. I don't want to try and tell you what the format is and then get it completely wrong, so I'll just leave it at that. The point is, we get to be excited about serving God. So let's pray. Father, I thank you for the privilege that it is to serve you. I thank you that you have called us to be a part of your church, to be a part of your body. So we ask that you would speak to us, that you would encourage us, fill us with joy, convict us of our sin, and please use us for your glory. Thank you, Lord. Amen. All right, so I have a short reflection on Romans 12, verses 1 to 8. So if you guys want to turn there, I'm going to read that. All right, so we read, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully." All right, so Romans. This is a letter written by the Apostle Paul to the Christians in Rome. As it was common at the time, at that point in history, there were two kinds of Christians in general that this was written to. So you have Jewish Christians and non-Jewish Christians, Jews and Gentiles. And most of you are probably aware that these two groups, trying to interact and work together in the same faith, often resulted in a lot of conflict. We sometimes see that today when people from different backgrounds get together and try to work together. That often causes a lot of problems. That's exactly what happened at that time. Often there was a lot of conflict between them. So in the book of Romans leading up to this point, the Apostle Paul has been speaking to several of these issues. So if you're familiar with Romans, you'll know there's the discussion of salvation as God's grace, justification by faith, the place of the Old Testament law, the response to sin, and the status of Israel as God's chosen people. These are all in relation to the church in Rome, which involved these two types of Christians. All right, so he starts, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God." So first of all, this is an appeal. So he's urging his listeners to do something. He's not saying, "Hey, I have this idea that you could think about, and maybe if you like it, you could do something about it." He's saying, this is really important. This is a big deal. You have absolutely got to do this. He's urging them. The next thing is therefore. I really like preaching on passages that start with therefore, because this usually means that a big point is being made. So the therefore indicates that the following statements, what's about to be said, hinges on what has been said. In this case, it's no exception. The therefore is hinging on everything that's been said in the book of Romans thus far. So I'm not even going to try to summarize that. But the point is, all that God has done as laid out in the book of Romans, so he's been talking about God's grace to us. In chapters 9 to 11, the stress was that both Jews and Gentiles are in the family of God by God's grace. It is, they stand in that grace by faith. So what follows is an explanation of what we are to do because of the incredible grace that God has given us. All right, and so that is to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. So people at this time would be very familiar with sacrifice, probably in a way that we are not. I think in our setting here, sacrifice has a very religious, well, wrong word, has a very spiritual connotation. Like, oh yeah, I'm sacrificing that for my faith. That doesn't mean the same thing as what sacrifice originally meant. It was actually you physically give something to God. So you offer a lamb, that means the lamb gets killed on the altar. Or if you had like a food offering of some sort, that gets given. It's not yours anymore. You physically give it to God. So Jews at the time would think of the sacrifices in the temple in Jerusalem. So there were constantly animals being killed as sacrifices there at the altar, being offered to God. So when it says in verse 1, a sacrifice holy and pleasing to God, that's how the Old Testament describes sacrifices, that they are holy and pleasing to God. So the primary understanding of sacrifice was something that dies or is taken away completely. So here, what Paul is saying is, just like a sacrifice is given to God, you are a living sacrifice. Your entire being, your entire life is given to God. This suggests a lifestyle of worship and devotion to God. And this is meant to be a continual experience. And like in the Old Testament, or to the Jews, a sacrifice was something you gave, and then you had to give something again at another point. But this is a lifestyle. This is continual. It's a new way of life. Okay, and a lot of translations have spiritual worship. They said this is your spiritual act of worship, or this is your spiritual service, or something like that, which is kind of vague and confusing, because I don't really think of anything definite when I hear spiritual worship. Maybe a better way to think about this would be, this is your proper or reasonable or rational service. It kind of indicates a correct way of thinking, like a right mindset. So the right way to understand, to think about, to respond to God's mercy is to give yourself to his service as a living sacrifice. All right, so we read on. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So, I am not going to pull out every little detail from this passage, but here Paul gets a little bit more specific about the life-changing event. So, as we said, the mind must be renewed. This is a new mindset. Our thoughts and attitudes and values, that doesn't come when we are a living sacrifice to God, that doesn't come from the culture or the world around us. That comes from this renewal of mind to the point that we are completely transformed. Okay, so yeah, that, like I said, that continues the idea of a reasonable act of service. To live as a sacrifice is to have a new mindset. Are you with me? Does that make sense? Living sacrifice, new mindset. Okay, awesome. All right, so we read on. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ. So this is a pretty clear example of the new mindset that we get in Christ. The correct view is that we, though many, are one body in Christ and members of one another. So we see this idea that our minds shift from thinking about ourselves as the center or my group of people, my peers, as the center, as the most important. And we shift to this idea that the body of Christ, that is our identity. We are valuable because we have been given a place in the body of Christ. By his grace, God has given us gifts, which Paul lists a few of them here. And our purpose as Christians, as those who are offering ourselves to God as living sacrifice, is to be a part of the community that uses their gifts to build up the church. So there's a lot of gifts. There's a few mentioned here. There's a bunch of other ones mentioned elsewhere in the New Testament. So the idea of a spiritual gift is something that the believer is enabled to do by the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life. And that is a big conversation. But the point is, each of us will serve in different ways, but with the same motivation, to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Okay, so, living sacrifice, new mindset, gifts, using our gifts in the body of Christ. And so that's what we are encouraging this morning. The correct or appropriate response to what God has done is to devote ourselves wholly to him. So I don't want to oversimplify, like there's a lot of different aspects of being, being a part of the body of Christ. Paul goes on to talk about other aspects, like in the following verses he talks about love, and then he goes on to different ways in which we interact with each other, different practical things that we're supposed to do. But here we see this idea of being part of the body. So in this passage, the correct or appropriate response to the mercy of God, to everything that God has done for us, is to devote ourselves wholly to him. And part of this is using your gifts as a member of Christ's body, the church. And even in this church, which isn't huge, there are lots of ways in which you are needed. So just like Ed said, it takes 60 people to run a church. I don't know, are there 60 people here? That sounds like it's going to take all of you. And so the plan is to take the next while to share about ways that we as individuals and as a church have been serving God in our community. So I'll start by talking briefly about the Vita Youth Center. Is that a good transition? Does that make sense? Okay, good. Awesome. Just making sure you're with me. All right, so the Vita Youth Center. I have been a youth leader for a really long time. I feel like I should have gray hair and a cane or something. Like when I started, I think I started in 2012, back when Dan and Crystal were the youth leaders, and they said, "Hey, want to help?" And ever since then, I've been doing that and loving it. It's been great. I know it's not for everyone, but I love it. And these guys right here, I like them. Okay, I was leading senior youth, and I realized it was really difficult to get everyone the whole senior youth group all in one place at one time. Part of the reason for that is it's a cultural thing. Like we have, when by the time you are 16 or 17, you might have a car, you might have a job, you definitely have a social life. You have places you want to go, people you want to hang out with. And so we were finding that it was really hard to get everyone together. So that's sort of where this idea for a drop-in center came from. I thought, you know, it'd be really great if we could like have something a little bit more casual where people could just stop by and we could just hang out with the youth and it would be more accommodating to their busy schedules. So we just kind of thought of that about that, talked about it a little bit. In fall of 2017, the junior and senior youth were combined, and probably the same thing was happening where everyone was busy and we couldn't get everyone all together at once, but there was just the sheer volume of youth. Like we went from having an average night of 4 kids to an average night was like, well, this year it's like 15 to 20, often more than that. So we didn't really notice that same dynamic, even though it was probably still there. But what I did notice is even though we had this large group of kids, I would still see kids walking around town who were in the age range of our youth group, who didn't come to youth, who didn't come to church. And so my thinking sort of shifted to include the idea of reaching out to kids who are not so comfortable in a church setting, or maybe just don't really know about what's going on in the church. So we started talking about this. I talked to Pastor Jonathan about it. He mentioned it in a few places. We talked about it at Young Adults Group, and we talked about it at the annual meeting last year. And every time I brought it up, there was this excitement. There was this enthusiasm for this idea. People said, "Hey, let's do that. That's great." What really got the wheel spinning was in spring of last year. I talked to Carson Hoy. Many of you probably know who that is. Great guy. And I originally talked to him because we were looking for a location. We were thinking of using the Friendship Center, which he is involved with, and he didn't really think that would work. But through talking to him, he's kind of got things rolling, and we formed a drop-in center board. We came up with a tentative name, which we're still using, the Vita Youth Center. We had a fundraiser at Canada Day through the Chicken Barbecue, and eventually we settled on the Vita Arena as the location for what we wanted to do. And so that whole process was fantastic. It was a lot of fun. And it was really cool to see people brought together because Carson Man, why do you have to do that with your name? Sorry. Because Carson goes to the Stuart Byrne Church, he got people from that church involved, and so we have a board that consists of people from both churches. When we talked to the arena about using that space, we found this excitement again for the idea, where they said, yeah, that's awesome, we want you to use the space, to the point where they said, like, we feel bad about asking you to pay, so just don't pay us. So that's really cool. We opened on October 8th, I think, and through that process, every need that we have had has been met. We got a whole bunch of stuff for free, including a TV, couches, like nicer couches than I have in my house, and game systems, pool table, ping pong table, and so on. It's been amazing to see how God has brought things together. And a lot of the time it just kind of felt like I was just along for the ride. Like, things just kept happening. So that's how we got to where we are. We have an attendance from 10 to 20 kids usually. The busy time is right after school till about 5:30 or 6. And we are open every Monday usually. So I'll just go over exactly what our mission is. I'm sure you've heard our mission statement. Our goal is to reach with the gospel youth who would otherwise be unlikely to be found in a church setting. And we'll do this through casual activity. We will build relationships with the youth that attend. And these relationships will be the avenue through which we present the gospel of salvation in Jesus Christ and the great love with which he has loved us. And just a note, like I talk about wanting to interact with kids who don't come to church or youth group. Actually, our core group comes to both the drop-in center and the youth group, and that's really good. The more time we get to spend with the youth, the better. The more those relationships will grow, and the more opportunities we will have to share the love of Jesus with them. And we've seen kids show up at the drop-in center and then later on show up at youth, and so that's fantastic. As far as future plans go, we're thinking a little bit ahead. We want to update some of our gaming systems that we have there. We'd really like to buy a Nintendo Switch. We keep talking about it, so we'll probably just have to do it at some point. We also want to develop a framework for doing community service through the drop-in center. We want to foster a sense of investment in the community, in the youth of Vita and area. So that's something that we're also thinking about. As we kind of said, we're very focused on evangelism, and so we want to at some point run something like an alpha course. There's a youth alpha course, which is pretty cool. There's also other programs that we're along those lines that we're thinking about. And yeah, so that's a few of our future plans. And now the kicker, where you can get involved. First of all, please pray. We are sustained by the grace of God. We are only joining in what he is already doing, so please pray. Specifically, please pray for the volunteers. I am so thankful for all the volunteers that we have. It's been fantastic. Shout out to Ryan and Pam. They're really cool. They're helping out with that and with youth, and they're great people. I thank God for them. And others. I don't want to get carried away with name drops, but there's lots of people who are committed to this, and it's fantastic. We've been able to work together in unity. We've been able to have fun with planning things and thinking about our visions and where we want to go with this. So that's been a huge blessing from God. And please pray for us. Please pray that all of our volunteers will be filled with the love and the power of the Holy Spirit as we interact with the youth. Also, pray for the youth. There's a lot of kids that are coming to this, and we want them to hear God's voice. So pray that they would hear God, that they would respond to him by entering into a relationship with him, or obviously deepening that relationship with him. Cool thing that happened, we offered New Testaments from the Gideons to the kids, and a bunch of them took them, including a couple kids who we know to be very unexposed to the gospel. So now they have Bibles. That's fantastic. So praise God. Another thing you can pray for is the Arena Board. That they would know the love and goodness of Jesus through us being involved with them. We want to be a blessing to all that we interact with. So pray for the Arena Board. And for the community of Vita as a whole, we as a church are a part of this community. We want to see God's kingdom established and advance here. So pray for Vita. That's something that we should all do. All right, also under the heading of how you can get involved, pray, volunteer. We need all kinds of volunteers. We need volunteers of all ages as well. One of the things that we need volunteers for is hanging out with the kids. Very simple, you show up, you say, hey, guys, want to play pool? And you just talk to them, you get to know them. And if you want to be on a schedule, we have a schedule for volunteers, or if you want to just drop by occasionally, that's cool too. Either way, talk to me if you want to help out. Another need that we have is people to run the canteen. Right now that position's pretty set, but if that is something you'd be interested in, let me know. And also we have a dedicated time where we share, we call it a God talk. We share a short testimony or Bible study. If that's something you'd be interested in doing, in sharing a little bit of your faith with the kids, then talk to me. We can make that happen. And lastly, under what you can do, how you can get involved, the Vita Arena is organizing the Winter Carnival. That's going to be, or festival, I don't know what the right word is, but not important. That's coming up this next weekend. And so as part of the agreement for using the arena, we agreed that we would also volunteer for their events. The members of our board will be volunteering for that in various ways, and they're going to need a lot of volunteers. I don't know what the status of that is, but they'll need a lot of people. We see this as a great way for us to be a part of our community. And maybe through this you'd get to make connections that you wouldn't otherwise get to. We believe that one part of evangelism is getting out there and using your gifts to help the community. So if you want to be involved in that, if you want to help out with that, then you can talk to me or talk to Shirley. Just let us know that you want to help. I don't know exactly what's all needed, but there are a lot of various things that you can help with. All right, so that's the Vita Youth Center. I'm going to turn it over to Gordon now. So thanks. Please pray for us.
You still okay? I'm going to use this mic. Okay. So what we've done is we've asked a few people to come and share. There's Sunday school teacher, Vanessa, you're going to come this morning too?
Yes, you are.
What did you say? You didn't volunteer. What did you call it? She was voluntold that she was going to be helping today. That's right. Okay, so what our thinking, and Jonathan has already talked about this, is that as far as the missions committee goes, we wanted to encourage the Vita Bible Church to get involved in outreach work. And whether it is through, like Jonathan has already talked about, or anything else, or even personal, I don't know if the word is evangelism, but sharing your faith or just being a testimony of who you are as a Christian. So that is the purpose of this Sunday. So now we're going to ask these people that have volunteered to come forward or voluntold, and then we'll go from there. Thank you.
God is so good, eh? Anyways, I was voluntold or asked, whatever, to share with you guys a little bit about Discovery Time, which goes on in the schools every week. It's a program run through Child Evangelism Fellowship, and 6 years ago, I think, roughly, Elda called me. She used to be in charge of it, and she asked if I'd be interested in coordinating, and I was like, okay. So we jumped in with both feet, and it's just been... There have been weeks where you go there and you're like, what am I doing besides babysitting? But the kids listen and the seeds are planted, and that's what it's all about. This year we have between 75 and 80 kids from grades kindergarten to grade 4, and it's awesome. The school works with us. The principal, the teachers, they've just been totally amazing. I haven't had to fight my way in. I know the principal, every year, if he hasn't heard from me by like end of September, okay, Vanessa, when are we starting? And so it's super awesome and a huge blessing to not have to fight my way into the school. And it's been cool to get to know the teachers as well, because being in the school and seeing them every week, you talk to them, you get to know them on a different level. And so that's been really awesome as well. Yeah, so I guess I'm going to put a bit of a plug in, too. There is a little bit of a struggle, usually in September, trying to find teachers. It'd be great to have teachers, one for every grade. It doesn't always work out that way. So this year, we're one teacher short. So it makes our weeks a little bit crazier, as Jonathan can probably attest as well. We have bigger class structure. But yeah, so if it's something that any of you would be interested in, we do it once a week. And it's like our class time is probably 20 to 25 minutes. And it's just really great to be in the school and to be involved and to see the kids. A lot of them are church kids, so they know the stories, but there's some that aren't as well. And so for them to hear that, and it's just super cool. I've been able to, over the years, teach different grade levels, and it's just been a lot of fun. So yeah, just keep praying for the school. It's a huge praise that we can be there and do this. So yeah, that's it. Thanks, guys.
Well, thanks, Vanessa. That's very encouraging. I am a Sunday school teacher here, and I just wanted to share a little bit about why I chose to be one and what it is we do here. A year ago, just over a year ago, my dad was teaching a Sunday school class with the younger kids downstairs, and he asked me to take over his class for him. So I said yes, and it's been great being with those kids and teaching them and just actually learning with them as well. It's encouraging to know that you are planting seeds in these kids, and it may not seem like you're doing all that much teaching, but you really are. And I just want to actually share. It's funny, today we had a lesson on exactly what the Mission Sunday was about today too. We had a lesson on the parables of Jesus when he's talking about giving talents, the businessman who gave, or the wealthy man who gave talents to his servants and the money, and they were supposed to make something of it, and those who, some of them did, made more with it, and by those who made more with it were given in the end, and those who did not were whatever they had was taken away from them. And I just want to encourage you guys that you would, whatever God is, gift is God has given you to do, that you would use that. I know I've always, I like teaching and being involved with the young the youth and the younger kids, it's been a blessing that I've gone into that, and I would encourage you that whatever you God has blessed you or gifted you to do, that you would do the same with it, would actually use that. And I have a verse here from 1 Peter 4:10-11. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Just want to encourage you with that, and that you would use whatever God has given you to advance his kingdom and be a missionary. And it doesn't even have to be like very specific things, but just use whatever God has given you to you know what I mean. Thank you.
Morning. I was going to share a little bit about what the term witnessing meant to me over my life. And so a lot of this is going to be from my childhood years and then a little bit further than that. And so I'm remembering things, and you know, you get older and you start reminiscing, and so that's just how we are when we get old. The first thing I remember about witnessing would have been from the folks that have the name Witness in their church title, Jehovah's Witnesses. I know many people think they're a cult, and that could be. That's not what I'm trying to say, but they used to come to our door regularly. And there was two things I learned from them. One was be bold. Somehow they got past our big German Shepherd. I don't know how, because that dog would always bark except when they came. So not sure how that happened. But the second thing was that I remember that they really weren't interested in listening to me. Or, well, not me, but I mean my mom, let's say. She answered the door. And that was something that, you know, after a while, my mom would have to say, you know what, we'll just have to end the conversation here, because, you know, they were just very belligerent in what they thought, and they weren't interested in what we had to say. So, again, good and bad. And, yeah, they were a cult probably, but that's not the focus here. So the second thing I remember from growing up in a church was, what does the term witnessing mean? And I remember my friend, his dad, I believe the sermon must have been on, you know, sharing the good news, the gospel with people. And I remember I went to his house after, like, for dinner, for like for whatever, to play or whatever. And I remember his dad, they stopped for gas, and the dad asked the attendant if he had a Bible. And he said, no. So Bible off on the dash, here you go, here's a Bible. So just again, I remember the term witnessing and giving Bibles. Another man in our church, you know, great believer, loved the Lord, and he was very open about his faith, and he always asked people, like just anybody on the street maybe or in church, do you love Jesus? I remember being asked that myself. Now that made some people mad, but maybe, and other people it didn't. And it was, again, it was something that I remember, if I remember the term witnessing in my growing up years. I also remember learning the term witnessing in a way that was, like when I came to Manitoba, I realized that people use the term witnessing a little differently than I was used to, but it had to do with trying to correct the culture or correct Christians who'd gone wrong. And again, when I think back, that probably was also, I realized that was, I just didn't, you know, connect the dots. But there was our neighbor, I remember he told me one time that he was buying tires. And the young fellow who was selling him tires was explaining how what a good deal these tires was. And he was using terms like hot, like, you know, stuff like that, a hot deal, you know, hotter than, and using words found in the Bible, but not exactly in the right way. And so my neighbor felt he had to tell him, you know, sir, I don't think you realize how hot hell really is. and things like that I remember growing up, and all connected to the term witnessing. When I went to Bible school, I remember signing up for a class, and it had to do with sharing the gospel. And I remember going to a mall in Winnipeg, and going and talking to people, and this was part of our class. It was a field trip, and I mean, it was good. It was good. It was tough, and I remember feeling a little bit, well, maybe it was forced, you know, because I had an agenda. I had an agenda with I had to go do this, right, because it was part of the class, and so felt a little bit awkward, maybe. But I want to share, in closing, a little story of what happened to me a little bit later on. And I was no longer in Bible school. I was going on in my education to be an engineer. And again, it was a time in my life when I was a little bit not so settled, right? You sort of felt like you weren't sure. Is this a good occupation? You know, maybe I should have stayed in Bible school. Anyway, whatever. It was one of those times in life when life isn't always so cut and dry. And I remember I was driving every day to school, and can't remember which car it was. Could have been my brother's old Corolla or my old 65 Valiant, one of those two, but either one, all they had was an AM radio. And anyway, I had this certain practice of listening to this one program every morning, and it just happened to be exactly the right time as when I was on the road, and I had this practice. And one day I picked up a hitchhiker. And I know I don't suggest you do this. I mean, this was back then. This is just the story, right? You don't have to do this at home. But anyway, I did, and it was interesting because I got to know this guy, and he happened to be going regularly, not every day, but regularly to the same, I don't know if it was the same school, but anyway, it was the same area, and so we said, hey, I'll pick you up. So I did that regularly for some time, I don't know how long. And, you know, I don't even know his name now, but one day he says, hey, I became a Christian last week. And I thought, oh, well, that's great, you know. And he said, I know you're a Christian because of this, of the radio station you listen to. And I thought that was kind of cool. And that sort of helped me in another sort of understand witnessing and what it means to be a witness. And sort of, and I thought like appropriate verse that sort of, I know this passage is not necessarily on the term witnessing, but it's about the sheep and the goats in Matthew, and it's a parable about, and this is out of the Message, and only reading it because Denise gave me a new Bible, and it's got NIV on one side, Message on the other, so I'm going to read it from the Message. Then the king will say to those on his right, enter you who are blessed by my Father. Take what's coming to you in this kingdom. It's been already for you since the world's foundation, and here's why. I was hungry, you fed me. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was homeless, and you gave me room. I was shivering, you gave me clothes. I was sick, and you stopped to visit me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then those sheep, those are the good guys, are going to say, Master, what are you talking about? When did we see you hungry and feed you, thirsty and give you drink? And when did we ever see you sick in prison and come to you? Then the king will say, I'm telling the solemn truth. Whenever you did one of these things to someone overlooked or ignored, that was me. You did it to me. And I guess that's true about witnessing, too. Sometimes we think, it's something forced or I have to do this. And yet I think the best way is to be yourself and allow Jesus to work through you. And you'll be amazed at just the opportunities and what happens. So thanks.
Thank you very much. Each of us that are walking with the Lord, if we would look at our lives and we would think back to what has impacted our decision for Christ, most likely it will be a list of people or things or events. It may be one event, but more than likely, there are many different things that have happened. That is an encouragement to me because I've struggled too with sharing my faith, and I am encouraged with little things that we can do, whether it is like Nika was just talking about, whether it just happens to come along with us and listen to a program, or we're teaching Sunday school, or we're the Bible says bringing somebody a glass of water in the name of Jesus is important. And it is not how big the check is. It is what motivates you to give the check or cash or whatever you happen to be doing. A while ago at a council meeting, a couple of months ago, one of the councilmen told us there that he had been at a sports event. It wasn't one that I was at because I think it was a Jets game or something, and I can't afford that. But anyway, it was a sports event of some kind, and he had sat down, and he had looked over the people sitting there, and he said that his thought was, I wonder how many of these people know Jesus. That motivated me to pray for people as I've met them, more than a lot of things have. That one statement. And that's something we need to think about. Those little, not little things, those are maybe little things, but they are big things. I'm just going to have one short story. Those of you that know me, I could stand and tell stories here all night. But anyway, all day. That would be night, yeah. But when youth leader, you said you had gray hair or you almost had gray hair? Almost have gray hair. I have gray hair. Apparently it's salt and pepper. That's what they call it now. So when I was a youth leader, and this goes back, I'm thinking about 35 years ago, there was, and I had a group, I often did this by myself. We had some people that helped us with singing, but it was in the Sommerfeld Church in Winkler. And we would have sometimes 30, 40, I've had as many as 50 people there. And there was in the back row, often, a group of young fellas, and we had youth, the youth were somewhere, they were 20 years old, they were, I think we even had once in a while, we had some married people that kind of continued coming, and they just kind of graduated into leadership eventually. But there was some younger fellas, and I can't remember exactly how old they were, I'm guessing, let's say 16, 17, somewhere around there. And they were extremely disruptive. And I lost my cool. And I was leading the youth. I was there by myself. I asked the following question of those gentlemen, or those guys. They weren't gentlemen then. And there was at least three. And I asked them, if the purpose of you coming to youth is to disrupt this group, as we were having Bible study, you really don't need to come anymore. That's probably not very politically correct and all this kind of stuff. But I was totally frustrated, and I was angry, and it got very quiet. And I didn't do it with just those three guys. The whole group was there. On the way home from youth, I felt sick to my stomach because I was pretty sure I had gone about this the wrong way. I can remember my stomach turning. And we came back, next youth, those guys actually still came. Now, whether mom and dad held a stick, I don't know. But they came. And they couldn't look me in the eye, and I found it difficult to look at them in the eye. But I want to tell you something. 5 years ago, I went, oh, no, it's longer than that. It's quite a few years ago, we were at this Lilac campground, Richer, somewhere in that area. And a guy comes to me and he says, "You remember me?" I says, "No, I don't. I couldn't." He looked extremely familiar. I knew he was a Winklerite, or in that area, south of Winkler, the suburbs there. Anyway, he comes to me. He says, "Marv is my name." And then the lights went on. And he was one of those guys. He says, "Do you remember that incident at youth?" I said, "Yeah." I says, then he told me his little bit of his life story and how he'd become a believer and all that. And of course, I had, there was another guy. He was a follower. His name was Art. And it was a group. So I laid it on the group. That Art is right now a pastor in Winkler, in the Summerfeld Church, by the way. And he officiated at my mother's funeral. And Marv and I, the first guy I talked about, we went to Durango, Mexico together and shared the gospel in Durango Colony. So I'm not saying what I did was right, but I wonder sometimes whether the things that we say and the things that we do have a much, much bigger impact than what we realize at the time. That's why I said earlier, I wonder how many of us sitting here, it's not just one person. In my life, it was my parents, it was my grandfather, it was one, when Lynn and I were going to get married, we were going to find a church, right? And we went to a preacher or a pastor, and we were going to talk to him about getting married. And the very first thing he asked me was, "Gordon, are you a Christian?" And I knew it was better not to lie in front of a preacher, so I didn't. And I said, "I'm trying to be." By the time that clock hit midnight that night, I was a believer and walking with the Lord. It was because that man asked the final question. That's the point here, that we do not know how big an impact we have on other people's lives. I'm going to close with a scripture passage from Luke chapter 23. If you have time, or take your Bibles, yes, would you please turn there. Luke chapter 23. This is during the crucifixion of Jesus. Also, this is my second point. We wonder sometimes if the question is, I'm trying to get my thoughts straight here. I had it all written down, but it's too long if I read all that. The question is, do we take our testimony for Christ, or when we share the gospel, or what, be a witness, as Nika talked about, do we put that parallel to being in business or farming or successful in the things we do? Do we compare that? So this is why I'm going to read this, and then I will make my final point. Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him, meaning Jesus, to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him, along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is Christ of God, the chosen one." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you are the King of Jews, save yourself." There was a written notice above him which read, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals. I don't know how you can say these things while you're hanging on a cross, but anyway. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him, "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him, meaning he rebuked the first criminal. "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you are under the same sentence. We are punished justly, for we are getting out what our deeds deserve. But this man, who has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise." What was Jesus' success rate there for being a testimony? 50%. If you look, if you take this literally and think this through only with your secular mind, he was 50% successful. Would we hire Jesus as a consultant for our farm or business? Would you be happy if, Linda and I were talking about this, she just made bread. I said, would she be happy if 50% of her loaves turned out? Probably not. Do we expect to be 100% successful when we share the gospel? Oh, it would be great, because we want, like Jonathan said before, we are excited about serving God. We want everybody we talk to make a decision for Christ and to accept him, because that's what Jesus wants. And by the way, Jesus was 100% successful, because he died for all the sins of the world. It is our choice whether there's success in their life, in the statement that's made. And so it is those with those we share the gospel. And don't give up. I don't know how many of you have seen this cartoon about this penguin or whatever it is swallowing this frog. And the frog's legs or front paws or whatever they are reach around and they grab the penguin by the throat. Never give up. Never give up about the testimony that we have. Never stop praying. That guy on the cross, he was already nailed to the cross. He knew he was dying. That's when he made his decision. We need to think about that. I just keep thinking about those two men. 35 years ago, I was very frustrated with those guys. Let's remember that. Let's close. We're going to have a couple of songs. I'm going to close with one scripture passage. And that is 1 Corinthians 13. And by the way, you should memorize it. It's good for you. They made us memorize this when I went to Bible school. Jonathan, you have something to look forward to. If I speak in tongues of men and of angels but have not love, I am only a resounding gong. Love. Remember that. Or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, that means sacrificing your body, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Let's close. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can serve you in the way that you have chosen us. We thank you, O Heavenly Father, for the gifts that you have given us. We ask, Lord, that we would trust you to guide us as we serve you through whatever ministry it is, whether it is even just, not even just, whether it is bringing somebody a glass of water. O Heavenly Father, help us to serve you well. Help us to trust you. Help us to believe that you have called us to serve you. Guide us. In your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen.